We have been working through the tulip, tiptoe through the tulip. We've entitled this series. It's a five sermon series that now just got lengthened to six because we're going to take 2 weeks on this next one here because I knew that with our missionary report, we'd be running a little close to time. And so let me just briefly remind you of the five areas, five doctrines of grace that we've been looking at. We looked at the comparison between Arminian and Calvinistic teaching in each of these areas. On the Arminian side, we have the free will of man. On the Calvinistic side, we have the total depravity. I mentioned, and I'm just briefly again, that I believe in the total depravity of man. I also believe in the free will of man. Where I differ with the Calvinists in this is that when they describe total depravity, they, I think, go a step beyond depravity and say that there's an inability for man to respond to the Word of God, which is alive. It's an inability to respond to the Spirit of God in our lives, apart from God making the decision for us. And I don't think Scripture teaches that at all. It does teach that we're sinners and that left to ourselves, we would all go astray. But God, in His sovereign plan for us, has given us His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I don't believe that there's an inability that when we hear this living Word to not respond to it. I think that's going a step beyond depravity, and Scripture doesn't teach that. You have to read that into any of the places that talk about depravity. So, again, I don't believe in the inability. I believe that man has the ability, because of God's calling in our lives, because of the Spirit of God working in our lives, to make a decision, whether to accept that or to reject it. We talked about conditional election on the Arminian side or unconditional election on the Calvinistic side. Again, I'm not saying I don't believe in election. I do believe in election. I don't believe that God, before the foundations of the world, though, picked and chose who would and who wouldn't. I believe that He elected how we would be saved. I believe He elected a people to bring that salvation to us, the Jewish people. I believe that He elected the way in which we can respond to that. But to say that He elected certain ones, I don't believe that. And we're going to get into that a little bit more, especially as we get into, as we pick up Romans again. I think it'll be even clearer who God elected and who He did not in the sense of salvation, bringing us salvation, I should say, not in choosing salvation for us. We talked about universal atonement on the Arminian side or limited atonement on the Calvinistic side. And I went to the two passages that they use for that because there aren't any others. And they are not saying in those two passages that God only died for a certain number. There are hundreds, well, I don't know if it's hundreds, but there's a lot of passages that talk about Him dying for the world. And the only way you can interpret those in any other way is they'll say, well, he had died for all kinds of people, not the whole world. You have to really read into that passage something that's not even there in order to come to that conclusion. We talked about resistible grace on the Arminian side, that when God offers His grace, His salvation to us, that man can resist the Spirit of God. And we looked at passages where men literally did resist the Spirit of God in their lives. And then on the Calvinistic side, you have irresistible grace, which basically says you have no choice. God's made the decision. It's all set before the foundations of the world. Just go for the ride. You have no choice in it anyway. And again, we don't see that in Scripture anywhere. Today we're going to talk about perseverance of the saints. On the Arminian side, it's perseverance of some saints. On the Calvinistic side, it's perseverance of all saints. And I'm going to tell you I'm on the Calvinistic side on this one. That God, in His Word, has preserved those who come to faith. And that He will bring them unto Himself. That He will glorify them. He gave them eternal life, not temporary life, when they come to Him in faith. So let me just give you a summary of what we're going to talk about in the next two Sundays. We're going to, first of all, define perseverance of the saints. We're going to look at some supporting passages. That's as far as we're going to get today. But then next week, we're going to look at some of the so-called difficult passages. There are some very key passages that kind of suggest that if you don't continue in your faith, that you could lose it. And there's conditions for that. Well, we're going to explain those because they are so-called difficult passages. And we're going to talk about application. We're going to talk a little bit about application today, obviously, how that this doctrine applies to us. But we'll look at more of that next week. So let's start with the definition. What does it mean to, when we say perseverance of the saints? And now it's either some or all, really, is the question here. This is a definition I just took offline. It says, perseverance of the saints is a doctrine that those who are truly saved will persevere. That's the Calvinistic side here. To the end. And cannot lose their salvation. It doesn't mean that a person who is truly saved will never lose faith or backslide at any time, but that they will ultimately persevere in faith such as not to lose their salvation. There's a lot of terms for perseverance of the saints. You may have heard the term eternal security, referring to the fact that once we receive eternal life, we are secure in that. Another term for it is again, it's not a scriptural term, but once saved, always saved. And I'm going to tell you today, I don't like that phrase, because I don't think it really describes perseverance of the saints, and we'll get into why that is. But you may have heard those terms, and they're really all referring to the same thing. But the bottom line is when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died for you, and God offers that gift of eternal life, you accept that gift. Is it yours always, or can you lose it? When you come to faith, is that your faith until God takes you to heaven, or is it possible that you could get partway there and all of a sudden fail and lose it? Well, I believe that God keeps those who come to him by faith. That we're literally saved until the day of redemption. It's not a temporary eternal life, it's eternal life that he gives to us. One of the key pictures, I think, in Scripture that helps us to understand the perseverance of the saints is John 10, 27 and 28. And this is what it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Never is a long time, right? "They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than them, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Okay, so what is he saying here? The picture that he's given is a shepherd. And the shepherd has been given the sheep. That becomes his. And the promise here is that nobody, no thing, is going to separate the shepherd from the sheep. Romans 8 talks about the love of God, and it's really the same picture. And it's saying nothing can separate us from the love of God, and it begins to list everything you could ever think of. And I think that's a beautiful picture of our salvation. When we come to God, because he loved us, he is going to keep us. And you've got this double hand security. You're in the Son's hand, and the Son's hand is in the Father's hand, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. He is the loving shepherd who preserves us, who keeps us unto himself, and is going to bring us unto glory. So that's kind of the basic idea behind perseverance of the saints, but we'll get into a little bit more of what that results in as we look at these verses. Again, I think there are a vast number of verses. I'm going to share a few of those with you today that support this. John 5:24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him," Jesus, who sent me, that would be believes in God who sent me, which would be Jesus, has everlasting life and has and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Death separated from me. You've passed from that into life, eternal life. Never being separated from me, never being separated from my love. So again, we have everlasting life, not temporary life. He's given that to us the moment we come to hear his word and believe in him, according to John 5, 24. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9 says this, who will also confirm you to the end? Jesus. God will confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that you are blameless, but you will be be made blameless through the blood of Jesus Christ who died for you. God is faithful. I'm glad it didn't say you will be faithful and therefore this will be true. It's saying that God's the one that is going to make this possible, not us. If it was up to us, yes, you wouldn't make it. But God is faithful. He's faithful to this promise, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So again, it's resting on him. It's that he will confirm this to the end. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctify you partway there? No, he's going to sanctify you completely. And then it goes on and it says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Preserved means that you keep it from spoiling, right? You keep it from not achieving the purpose that you want. He's going to preserve us blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Again, the emphasis isn't on us. The emphasis is on our Lord who perseveres the saints. Perseverance of the saints. He's the one that's going to make this possible in our lives. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us and cares for us in order to accomplish this. So this is just a few verses. Now, are there other verses that kind of give the other idea? We'll look at those next week. But let me just jump down to the practical application here. And again, I knew we didn't have a lot of time today. Let me ask you a question. Does this mean, then, that Christians never backslide or sin? No, that's not what that's saying. Perseverance of the saints doesn't mean that we live a life after we're saved that guarantees our salvation. No, the truth of the matter is you do fail. You will fail. Some of you will backslide. Some of you may fail miserably, our Lord. But it's not based on you. It's based on his promise to preserve you until the day of Jesus Christ. I love this verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but that they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Now, why did I throw this verse up? I'm going to ask another question when we're talking about backsliding. Is it true then, once saved, always saved, that since it's God who does the preserving in our life, a person can just say a prayer, asking God to save them, and then they can kind of forget about God, live the rest of their life, because once they were saved, they will always be saved? Well, this verse doesn't suggest that's true, does it? This verse suggests that if a person comes to Christ, if he comes to know the Lord and Savior, if there's a falling away, if he no longer continues with them, then one of two things are true on the Arminian side or the Calvinistic side. Either he wasn't saved to begin with, which the Calvinists would say that, therefore he went astray, or the Arminians would say, well, he was saved, but he sinned or fell away, his faith left, he no longer had faith, therefore he's not saved now, so he lost his salvation. Which one of those are true? And that's kind of important practically in our lives to know the difference. But can I just say or suggest to you it's a difference that really isn't a difference? You say, well, what do you mean by that? Let me read you a scenario. I read this week and I thought, oh, this is excellent in showing it. Let's say that you have a friend who becomes a Christian, asks Jesus into her heart and starts following him, gets baptized, the whole nine yards. She is faithful with it for a while, going to church, participating in the local and foreign mission trips, saying her prayers, reading her Bible, sharing her faith, being transformed by grace. But then, a couple of years later, she drops out of the whole thing. She renounces her faith, burns her Bible, tries to unshare her faith with everyone she previously shared it with. And what's more, she even returns to her former life. In fact, she goes even further and further off the deep end. Dream up the craziest scenario you can. She becomes a senator. She tries to pass a legislation that legalizes the imprisonment of Christians. She assassinates the Pope, and so on. Okay, you got the picture? You know somebody like that? Okay. Well, you may not know anybody that went that extreme, but you probably know somebody that seemed to be on fire for the Lord, and then it's like they, all of a sudden, they're not even living for the Lord anymore. And they've gone their own way. The question is, are they saved or not? Well, if you're on the Arminian side, you would say, well, they may have been saved, but now they are not. If you're on the Calvinistic side, you will say, they had the appearance of salvation. But based on 1 John 2:19, their true colors came out, and the very fact that they didn't persevere is an indication that they never were one of us to begin with. So you see the difference between once saved, always saved, and perseverance of the saints. I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe that when a person comes to Christ, they become a new creature in Christ. And the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the change in their life isn't what saves them, but I believe they do not give up on the faith. They persevere in the faith. Do they fail? Yes. Will they backslide? They could. But overall, their faith will not fail. That's the perseverance of the saints. And I think this verse suggests that as well. If somebody claims to be saved, probably because they said a prayer, and they think that is sets them for life and they can go on and live any way they want, I question whether they truly came to know Christ. Do they really believe? Do they really trust in him? And again, I think it's based on 1 John 2:19 as one of those that they will, their faith will not fail. Will they fail? They could. They will. They'll sin. They could backslide for a time. But overall, their faith, they're not going to reject the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the difference between once saved and always saved, because you could do that with that terminology, and the perseverance of the saints. The perseverance is that faith. That faith will persevere until the end. And I believe that is true scripturally as well. So, what have we seen so far? We've seen that God has saved us, and he keeps us. He preserves us until the day of redemption. It's not our work, it's his work. If you're sitting here today, well, you probably wouldn't be sitting here today if you're that person, but if you're basing your salvation on a prayer that you made 10 years ago, and then you had nothing to do with the Lord after that, I would reevaluate your faith. I'm on the Calvinistic side on this one, that you probably were never saved to begin with. I don't believe you could lose your salvation as the Arminians do. But I believe your faith will preserve. Does this, the preserving of your faith make that a work? No, because I believe God's the one that's preserving it. So if you're not walking with the Lord, then you probably weren't saved to begin with. You know probably about it. You weren't saved to begin with by walking with the Lord. If your faith, if you've rejected the Lord, then your faith wasn't an actual authentic faith in God. You need to be saved. But those that are saved, I believe, continue in the faith. They're not continue perfect. They're not. They don't continue in the sense that they won't backslide. They can, but they haven't rejected the one who has saved them in their lives. I read a Pilgrim's Progress years ago, and there's a good picture of that in John Bunyan's book Pilgrim's Progress, and he describes it this way: the main character in Pilgrim's Progress is a young man by the name of Christian. And he's going through life, and he's encountering different things in this pilgrimage that he's making. And at one point, let me get the story right here, he meets a helper named Interpreter. Interpreter's job is to teach Christians the critical truths that they need to know along their journey of faith. And so they're taking Scripture and applying it to their lives. And so Interpreter takes Christian and he shows him a fire that's burning against a wall. And how someone has started the fire constantly trying to put, excuse me, and how someone was standing by the fire constantly trying to put out the fire by pouring water on it, but the fire did not go out. Not only did it not go out, but it burned higher and hotter. And so Christian asks Interpreter in the story, what does this mean? And Interpreter explains that the fire is the work of grace that God produces in our hearts. Grace to trust in Christ. Grace to love him. But the devil is constantly trying to put out that fire by pouring water on it in our lives. He produces worries and temptations and so forth, and he's trying to put out that fire that God has created in our soul. And so Christian asks, well, what keeps the fire burning? Why is it not going out? And so he took Christian around to the back side of the wall, and there he sees someone pouring oil through the wall onto the fire. The oil of grace maintains the work already begun in the heart. And he says, by that means nothing withstanding that the devil does, the soul of his people prove gracious still. What was the point? The point was is that Satan sees that fire start in our soul when we come to know Christ as our Savior. And he desires to put that fire out as much as he can. But God, unbeknownst to us and unseen, keeps the fire going. Keeps the faith going in our soul. And that's what I believe is the perseverance of the saints. It's God taking what he started and keeping it until the day of redemption. Now again, we just started this. We're going to look at more of that next week. So just kind of keep that thought in mind and we'll come back to it. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you again for your word. I thank you for the promise of your sanctifying work in our lives, your preserving of us until the day of redemption. I just pray that you would make that truth so real to us today. But Lord, I also pray if there's anyone here today that's been kind of sitting on that promise, when there's no indication of their life that they've really continue in the faith, that, Lord, it would make them evaluate whether they truly have come to know you as their Lord and Savior. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.